Welcome to UTG Voices with me, Josh Kay, the monthly podcast from UTG where we speak to different contributors working behind the scenes to bring you the latest UTG content. In this episode, we begin by speaking to Jeremy Brown about his role within UTG, and in part two, we'll be speaking to Justin Pratt about his latest series on the Christian creeds. So join us as we get a deeper look into the work, the voices, and the content shaping UTG. So I'm delighted to say that for this opening part of the podcast today, we're joined by Jeremy Brown. Welcome, Jeremy.
Thank you, Josh. Good to be here.
It's great to have you on and to be speaking to somebody across the sea in Northern Ireland. So thanks for joining us. So maybe, Jeremy, like we speak to so many of our people who come on and our contributors at UTG, when they come on UTG Voices, we like them to share their testimony. And so we'd be really interested to hear a little bit about your testimony to begin with.
Sure, yes. So I was brought up, as Josh has just said, just outside Belfast in Northern Ireland. I had a good home where I was very privileged, with my parents, grandparents, and many of my wider family circle, all being Christians. I was very familiar with the Bible and the gospel message. This obviously didn't change my destiny or make me more acceptable before God. I was personally responsible for this. Although many would say those that I worked with and went to school with, those around me would say I lived a decent life, the reality was I lived for myself. I was selfish. I was living a life only interested in my own achievements. Living my own way, separate from God, leading to eternal separation from God. But only in God is there a true meaning to life. In John 10, verse 10, the Lord Jesus talks about abundant life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In that well-known verse, John 3 and 16, the Lord Jesus tells Nicodemus about everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Only God can change lives like this. Salvation is a miracle of God. I started dabbling in the pleasures of the world, but at the same time, I attended church most Sundays to hear the gospel and many other special gospel meetings, mainly to please parents, but at the end of the day, I wasn't right before God. I had many Christian friends and thankful to say that I ended up marrying a Christian girl. I always had the desire to be saved, but I wasn't saved until I was 32 years old. God was very patient with me. He protected me during the many years I remained in my sins. I often think about the kindness of God to me, how he's full of goodness and great mercy. God spoke to me many times, particularly through the death of school friends and also grandparents who had a deep interest in my salvation. In the year 2017, I started to attend gospel meetings in a portable hall in White Abbey, taken by Paul McCauley and David Williamson. I've been there fairly frequently. It came to the last night and I wasn't there, and I was annoyed about that. I came home from work late and had my dinner. I started to think about what Paul had mentioned in the meeting earlier that week, about how he heard of this lady who struggled to get saved. She said to a friend of his that she had believed and just couldn't get any further. His friend replied, "There's no further you can go." That really hit me, and I began to think of the verse in Galatians 2 and 20, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It was there I rested. I think you can write over my life, "God is good." I certainly didn't deserve this.
Excellent, Jeremy. And thank you so much for sharing that. And as you concluded there at the end, I think you could write over my life, "God is good." And I think we could all echo that sentiment, that we appreciate God's goodness towards us. The other thing that really sprung to mind as you were sharing that with us, that you were very conscious of God's patience with you before you were saved. And I think we all appreciate God's grace in that regard, but we also appreciate it beyond salvation, don't we? Because although we're saved and we appreciate that, we know that we're not perfect, far from it. And so we still need God's patience with us. So it's great to hear about how you were saved and how you came to know the Lord. So what about sort of now? You mentioned there about your wife. So how are you involved in serving the Lord in family life and in the local church?
Yes, so I was baptized in 2024. and started breaking bread with the Christians at King's Moss Gospel Hall in Newton Abbey. My wife and I are very happy there. God has blessed us in many ways. We have two boys who are great fun and keep us busy.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Yeah, they keep us on our toes, but it's all good fun. At King's Moss, we're involved in the Sunday school work. I'm involved in looking after the audio recordings for all Bible teaching at King's Moss and the distribution of that on various platforms. I also look after the website updates.
Yeah, so maybe you could help us out a little bit on the quality of some audio recordings, somebody with a bit more experience in that area as well. But kind of one of the things that we're going to get on to talking about shortly is some of your expertise in a more technical area. So as well as serving, obviously looking after family and family life and in the local church, you're part of UTG. So how did that happen, and what was your story into becoming involved with understanding the gospel?
Yes, so it all started back in 2018. I was chatting to a good friend, Stephen Mullen, who told me about the project and their plans to build a website. And he asked me if I would like to get involved. Stephen saw the need to build a website. He wanted something that was fully customizable and custom built. With my background in website development, I was keen to help out. I saw this as a great opportunity to serve the Lord and share the gospel with the whole world. At the time, I worked with a couple of Christian web designers who we also got on board to help with some user research in the planning stages and then the visual design of the website. I was involved in the coding and building of a content management system to allow the team to upload articles and other content. Everything was custom built to meet requirements of the team at the time.
Great. And so we take it from your answer that you've been involved from the early days, really. And this is perhaps the first time you've kind of stepped out from your role in the background there to speak to us and to speak to our listeners on the podcast. But maybe, Jeremy, we can take that a little bit further. So obviously you were involved in those early days in the initial stages of getting things set up. But what does your role in UTG look like now?
Yes, so you could say I literally work behind the scenes. I look after the website and the app. So this includes everything from maintenance, hosting, any ongoing updates and new features. This is a list that never seems to get any shorter, but it's obviously a privilege to be part of this. I work with the core team. And we work together to plan ahead. I report back on statistics from the website, popular content, to enable this planning and ensure the technology supports our future needs.
Obviously, on UTG Voices, we regularly speak to different contributors, whether that's people who are doing podcast series or particularly different authors who are writing. But actually, from a UTG perspective, none of that is possible. None of that gets out there without your role on the website and on the app. So that's why we were really pleased to give you a voice. That's what the podcast is all about. And for people to know some of the people who really are working behind the scenes. So also, Jeremy, as somebody who's been involved from very early on in the project, I'm sure you've got a lot of experience in seeing different ways in how UTG has been used. So how have you seen UTG being used positively in your own experience?
Yes, so personally, I could say I enjoy reading and listening to the content that is published on the various UTG platforms. It is a great resource and has proved helpful as I seek to learn more about the truths of the gospel and the great God who has revealed himself through his word. I've received a lot of feedback over the years as well, where people have shared how much they appreciate the content. It is amazing to look back and see how the project has grown and developed over the years across various platforms and think about the many people of different backgrounds and cultures that it's reached. it is a great blessing to me to be able to share in this work with other like-minded Christians. The team are a real source of encouragement and help to me personally.
Sure, and I think pretty much all of us who are involved in UTG would echo those sentiments there at the end, that it is a real encouragement to work together with like-minded believers to share the gospel and to share the truth of God's word with people as widely as we possibly can. Absolutely. So, Jeremy, my last question, we're going to take a bit of a look forward. So you're the man behind the scenes with all this technology, stuff that goes way over my head. So what developments can we hope to see, perhaps particularly from a technology perspective, but maybe in other areas as well? What developments can we see sort of moving forward?
Yeah, so I'd to look back and see where we'd come from. So the website went live in April 2019. There's been many new features and updates added since. The project's grown massively in that time. So you can imagine that the technology and platform needs updated. There are many improvements in the pipeline to include push notifications on the app, a regular newsletter going out to subscribers. There's a completely new gospel journey section coming later this year to walk users through the story of the Bible from creation and the fall to redemption and ultimately restoration. These are exciting developments, and we look forward to launching these features in the near future.
Absolutely. So there's some really exciting things coming up there. So keep your eye out for that. Some of the push notifications for the newsletter and particularly for the gospel journey, hopefully coming out later this year, which we're hoping to have an episode on later in the year when that comes. So Jeremy's given you a spoiler there and we'll maybe share some more details with that nearer the time. So before we wrap up, Jeremy, was there anything else you just wanted to share with us before we finish?
I just want to leave with you these verses from Psalm 73. That were mentioned in a recent article by Michelle. The article was about suffering. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I don't know who's at the end of this podcast. I hope and pray that the work of UTG will bring glory to God through the salvation of souls and the building up of his people. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. And thank you so much for sharing that. We'll maybe just stick a link into Michelle's article there down in the description, because if you found that helpful, then I'm sure plenty other people as well. So thanks, Jeremy, for joining us on UTG Voices, and our listeners can stay with us as we continue the conversation with Justin Pratt in part two. So welcome to part two of this episode of UTG Voices. And for this section, we're delighted to be joined by Justin Pratt. So welcome, Justin.
Thank you, Josh. Glad to be here.
We're great to have you on. We spoke to your wife, Naomi, a couple of months ago, and that was a really great chat that we had with her. So we're delighted that you've been able to join us for a conversation today as well. So Justin, as we do with all our guests on the UTG Voices, we really like to start by getting a bit of background on how they came to know the Lord. So maybe you can answer that question for us and how you became a believer on the Lord Jesus.
Well, I was born into Christian parents, and I came to faith young. In fact, I don't really remember any details of the event. My mom tells me that I asked her one day how to be saved, and she asked me if I had ever thanked Jesus for dying on the cross for my sins. She says I immediately got down by the bed and silently prayed. She never pressed me on it at the time. I mentioned it to my dad when he came home from work that day. A few months later, we were play wrestling, and I remember a vague memory of my dad asking me if I was saved, and I said yes, I was, and he wondered how I knew that, and I told him that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, as the Bible says, because I didn't really have a clear cut and dry story that I would have remembered. I would have sometimes had doubts as a child. Maybe by the time I was a teenager, I had kind of come to realize that salvation is a living faith. It's not so much about having this distinct time when you recognize you pass from death to life, but whether or not you're actually living and have a relationship with Jesus. And I would say that since then, I haven't really had any concerns about that. And I've come to realize, as I've developed as a Christian, of course, that the New Testament speaks a lot to the fact that it's a salvation through which you're being saved. It's something that is an ongoing daily thing to enjoy. And I guess I've come to appreciate more and more the grace that he provides daily in my Christian life as a result of that.
Great. So if we jump forward a little bit then, so you came to know the Lord as a child, as a young boy, how does that living faith that you're talking about, how do you live that out day by day now? How are you involved in serving the Lord and in family life and so on?
Yeah, so currently I serve the Lord as a father to 6 lovely and lively kids, and my wife Naomi, as you already spoken to her. I work daily at a dentist in the community where I live. Of course, that gives me a lot of opportunity to interface with the community. And in our local church, I'm involved in weekly teaching through the Old Testament. It started a few years ago, and currently we're in Chronicles. Otherwise, from these regular church meetings, we host a home Bible study for some youth in the area on Monday nights. And there's an outreach with the kids at a local gym on Thursday nights that we are involved with as well. So we keep ourselves fairly busy in these regular church activities.
Great. So between family life and working as a dentist in the local community and all your activities in the local church, you still find time to write some articles for UTG. I wanted to ask you, Justin, how did you first get involved in UTG? We asked Naomi this question, so maybe the story is going to be similar, but we'd like to hear it from your side anyway.
Yeah, so we became friendly with Stephen Grant, I don't know, maybe 10 to 15 years ago, somewhere in that range. Met him at a missionary conference and then had him come and visit us a couple times. And when he was here, we were talking about this new venture that he was working with a few people in Scotland, and basically offered to help in whatever capacity we could or supportive of the idea. So probably wrote some of my first kind of articles back in 2018, 2019, something like that, kind of in the early days. Of course, it seems that COVID ended up being helping it kind of launch to the next level, but that's where I kind of would have got involved in the beginning.
Great. And so as you suggested there, you've been involved for a while and been writing articles for a while. And in a minute, we're going to get onto the latest series that you've been writing about Christian creeds. But before we do that, maybe you could just give us some of the highlights of some of the things that you've written over the years. Is there any particular article or series that you've really enjoyed writing during that time?
Yeah, so I wrote a series, kind of my first series, that I was assigned, tasked with, was on the Holy Spirit. So I wrote a few articles on that, on him. And then kind of two series that were kind of my own homegrown kind of ideas that I enjoyed doing was, I wrote one kind of, I guess you could title it maybe along the lines of finding Jesus in the Old Testament and kind of looking at the angel of the Lord and that kind of thing. There's several articles written along that kind of line of things. And more recently, I wrote a series kind of, I think it's titled something along to the effect of Ready for a King. And it kind of just was noticing some parallels between 1 Kings 12, I believe, starting somewhere in there, and Matthew 11, and moving forward through both books and showing how each chapter kind of lines up with each other from Old and New Testament. It's kind of the kind of thing I find most thrilling, I guess, about the Bible, is seeing connections between Old and New Testaments. And that one was kind of an insightful kind of thing to me.
Yeah, great. And of course, that's one of the great things about the Bible, isn't it? Is that it's full of Christ. And wherever we look, we can find Christ in the scriptures. And that sounds like it's of a particular interest to you. And so we were coming then, Justin, to particularly think now about your latest series on the subject of Christian creeds, which I think is a really interesting subject. It's not something that perhaps in my background we would have thought a lot about, or certainly wouldn't have learned creeds in the past. So what I wanted to start by asking was, fundamentally, what is or what are Christian creeds?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure a similar background to you. Often kind of the only times I would have ever heard of a creed was sort of like maybe in a gospel meeting saying that, people listing off that salvation is not in a church, or, and a creed has a C, so it would kind of end up in a list of things there. And and kind of always being somewhat dismissed, I would say. But Christian creeds are just statements of faith. Like, creed is just short form for the Latin credo, which means faith. And, you know, as humans, we are constantly taking things we know and reformulating them to meet our current moments. And those early creeds were ways to distill and educate and remember fundamental truths so that believers were able to be edified. Of course, in those early days, I mean, ready access to Bibles and, you know, in times of persecution even and that kind of thing, they wouldn't have been able, there just wasn't access to biblical truth that easily. And so things were kind of reduced. So, for example, in like the Apostles' Creed, in basically 100 words, what is the fundamental truths that a Christian should believe? And that was provided for them.
And so if essentially a creed is a statement of faith, if you like, it's declaring what we believe or what somebody believes. How should we as Christians relate to creeds?
Well, I think we can just understand them for what they are. I don't think they were ever formulated to displace Scripture. As I've already mentioned, historically, most Christians didn't even have a Bible. And so I think, like, just like John Newton wrote hymns for his congregants to learn and retain Bible truths, creeds developed to enable average believers to know what they believe and what to believe about the nature of God and salvation. Now, I mean, really, the creeds seem to focus largely on the Trinity, the nature of God. And I mean, I think every Christian recognizes that's kind of pretty fundamental to Orthodox Christianity. However, if you just ask an average Christian, what do you know about the Trinity or what do you believe about the Trinity, people are often tongue-tied. And so I think if you had just a little bit of an understanding or an appreciation or just an introduction to the creeds, you'd actually probably have a better answer, a better understanding of God, even if you just spend a little bit of time perusing them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was reading there one of your articles on the Apostles' Creed, and you were mentioning in that article that although perhaps the Trinity is not explained perhaps in any great detail, and yet it is absolutely there within the creed as quite a fundamental truth that needed to be expressed. So another aspect that I wanted to pick up with you there, Justin, about creeds was, how should we approach them without compromising on the authority or sufficiency of Scripture? Because you mentioned there you don't think the intention of creeds was ever to displace or to overtake Scripture. So how should we approach creeds without compromising the authority of Scripture?
Yeah, so, I mean, creeds are not above the Bible, and I mean, they're derivative from the Bible. So, I mean, they're below. They arose from Bible study. I mean, the early brethren there in those early centuries were studying the Bible to determine what the relationships of the Godhead entailed. How do those work? So, of course, creeds are not inerrant. They're human constructions. They're human formulations of divine truth. So that's why we recognize that trusting a creed doesn't save you. I mean, trusting the Bible doesn't save you. It's trusting in the Lord Jesus that does. But there is a lot of benefit from those groups, those formulations that came so from these different, you know, you mentioned the Apostles' Creed, that wasn't so much formed from a council, but later ones like the Council of Nicaea and later councils, there's many different brethren working together to like hammer out proper wording. Like, what does the Bible say? Is this saying, is this going too far? Is this not going far enough with respect to what it means to the nature of the humanity, divinity of Christ, these kinds of aspects. And so they are working together to ensure proper wording and agreement on the nuance and getting it right. So we have a lot to be thankful for in the development of the creeds. I think shunning the creeds detaches us from historic Christianity, and it leads to a lack of appreciation and investigation of the Trinity. You mentioned the Apostles' Creed, how I mentioned how it's sort of implicit. Later creeds becomes more and more implicit, more and more explicit, because different errors then arose, you know, with respect to understanding the nature of Christ or the relationship of the Holy Spirit to God and these kinds of things. And so it kind of drove them back to the Bible to determine what does the Bible say about that and how do we distill that down and put it into something that we can have people memorize and remember when they can't read the Bible for themselves.
Yeah, and so there's some really important points in there, isn't it? To recognize that the creeds, they're not above scripture, but they are founded in biblical truth. And just like you said at the end there, anything that drives us back to scripture and to search scripture and to understand scripture better can certainly play a really positive role in our lives as believers.
Just before you go on, in a backwards way, I was thinking a bit about your question. I was thinking about, I was just down at the Museum of the Bible in Washington last week, which was an interesting trip. And, you know, just to see these old manuscripts, and sometimes it's just the facsimiles of old manuscripts, but like the oldest kind of like complete Bible we have, they had one there, a Codex Vaticanus. It's like from the 400s. Well, like the Nicene Creed dates to 325. This is 100 years before. So in a backwards way, even though the creeds are below scripture, in some ways it shows that it confirms scripture, because we have truth that corroborates with the Bible from prior to what the Bible has to say. Another thing that they kind of had, that they had there that I found interesting, is they have a mosaic from a church in Megiddo. And in that mosaic, it's inscribed that this is a gift given to God, Jesus Christ. And it's the earliest extra-biblical reference to Jesus Christ being God outside of the Bible. And so I guess all I'm saying is that it confirms that creeds are biblical, but in a backwards way, it also kind of completes the circle and shows that they both are in agreement with each other.
And that's really helpful. And of course, we can have absolute confidence in scripture that it is the word of God, and it is authoritative, and it is everything that we need, as Peter would tell us, for life and godliness. So Justin, then that does bring us on to the last question that I wanted to ask you. Now, at the time of recording, I think three of the articles in the series have been published. So that's a bit of an introduction, and then a couple of articles on the Apostles' Creed. So maybe you could give us a bit of an idea about where you're wanting the rest of the series to head. Give us a few spoilers.
Yeah, so I've been asked to kind of go through the various creeds. There's the Nicene Creed, Athanasian Creed, Chalcedonian Creed. There's different, or definition, as some people call them. So these, we'll be investigating these developments from one creed to the next, kind of considering the historical reason for the council, perhaps, and then also addressing then what error or what truth was being discussed or debated in each one. And really what you're seeing as you go through these creeds is this development in Trinitarian truth, as we've been discussing. What was kind of implicit in the Apostles' Creed, as we've said, becomes like kind of drilled in a little bit deeper. What does it mean? What is the nature of Christ? You know, what are the limits to divinity and humanity? Is it a mix, or you know, that kind of thing is the questions that they were investigating. And so we'll see where the boundaries of orthodoxy developed as they considered the word of God and debated it back and forth. And we'll see how that developed and how it has come to be just understood today that this is what Christianity is all about.
Great. And so we'd encourage all our listeners, you can go and get those three articles that are already published. We'll stick the link in the description, and then keep your eye out for the rest of that series as it comes along, because I think it'll be really a really helpful series to keep looking at those different creeds. And as some people say, you've got to know where you came from to know where you're going. And I think that's perhaps a little bit a part of where the story of creeds can help us as believers today. So thanks, Justin, for joining us. It's been great to have that chat with you. And our listeners can join us again next time on the UTG podcast.